I know at the end of this episode, we say that we are not going to be covering next week's Married at First Sight, Where Are They Now episode. However, that is not true. We saw the preview. It looks juicy, and we will be talking about that along with other stuff. So make sure you tune in to next week's episode.
Are you my podcast?
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 Are you my podcast? Are you my podcast?
Oh. Hey, Mary Radzinski.
Hey, Sarah Colonna. How you holding up?
Well, the I don't have drinks on weeknights thing went out the window tonight. So happy. I'm holding up my toddler, which is not I don't have an actual toddler, but it's a drink called the toddler, vodka and apple juice. Neither of those people are sponsors, but that's what I like to drink. Give it a whirl.
Yeah.
Mary, what do you got there?
I'm drinking a nice stateside vodka soda. Stateside, it's a local Philadelphia, I believe, comes from, but it's absolutely delicious and it's numbing and dulling the
sharp
edges.
Also not a sponsor, by the
True.
Way.
True, not a sponsor. Yeah. No, not
we're
at all.
We're just telling you what we're drinking.
Yeah,
Although we might as well say we do have a sponsor for today's episode that really comes in handy. Microdose. If you have heard of microdosing, well, you probably know what it is, and maybe you don't, but it's basically just getting that just right feeling when your body and mind are really at peace, which I think we could all really use today. If I thought I could microdose and then continue on with this podcast with a clear mind, I would. And actually, you can because it is a small amount. However, I, after what I saw, I would probably take four of them. So that isn't really that. I mean, you can do that too. You can really do whatever you want. The great thing about them is they deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel the just right amount of good. I have been using them. I take a half because it's just my preference. And then I write and I find myself focused on my writing and I'm working on a project and it's really helping me.
I can't agree with you more. All of the things. I love it for that use as well when I'm looking to be creative, do some writing, but I'm also very happy to have them every night about an hour before I go to bed to help me with my sleep. I don't have to rely on Ambien anymore. And it's just the exact perfect amount that makes me super duper relaxed. And I can turn off the noise, especially the noise that I will have in my head after a night like tonight.
That's right. And good news is it's available nationwide. Get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com, promo code mypodcast. Microdose.com, promo code mypodcast for 30% off and free shipping. Boom. I just want to let everyone know because in my office, that's where my little robots live, where my cats use their restroom. And right when I started recording, Ralphie came in here to do a number two. And
nice.
So that's how he feels about everything that's going on.
Yeah, he's an empath. I mean, he's not going to walk around and not have an upset stomach after the last couple hours of TV or whatever the hell it was. I mean, everybody's life is shortened from that episode. Sarah, we should just probably tear ass right in.
We should tear ass right in. I will say, since if you're listening this day of tomorrow, I will be in Tulsa at the Bricktown Comedy Club for the 19th and 20th of this month. The following week, I'm going to be in Fort Worth. Then I'm going to be in Lowell, Arkansas in May. Mary and I are going to be together in Louisville in June. And I have Dallas in June. So please go to sarahcolonna.com and get your tickets and come out. And I won't talk about Married at First Sight with you. I mean, I will after the show, but not on stage.
Yeah, only if you want to. She won't she won't force you to. No. Go see Sarah if you are in the Austin, Texas area. I'll be at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. So this comes out. Yes, I'll be there the weekend, whatever, 18th, 19th, 20th. MaryRadzinski.com for show locations and some future dates as well. All the things.
All the things. Now, the podcasters group, Are You My Podcasters Facebook group, you search it and you join it, is lit up tonight. We haven't even had time. Our clip show is now airing, which last week we had so much fun. Thanks for all the nice messages. The clip show tonight is talking about various moments from this season. It didn't cover the reunion. Like, that's not the clips that we were talking about because they didn't, I don't think they had enough programming for us to keep going.
Yeah.
And cover the reunion. But so, we're talking as it's on right now, but hopefully you guys are watching that. My first note from tonight was just Kevin still not wearing a helmet.
Oh, he should be in some sort of full body bubble boy suit. I mean, the helmet, you know, I think would be very, very helpful. I think he should be behind plexiglass, like a oldie timey bank teller or a current bank teller in some parts of Philadelphia. I think he should have zoomed in, man. I'll tell you.
I know. He's probably like, can we go back to the COVID days when nobody was I don't know. They wouldn't have even been able to manage it. Okay. They started off with Emily and Brennan. Should we just kind of go through the sequence of events?
Yes. That's the only way my brain can do it in some of the scribbly notes I have. I mean, this fucking reunion. Anyway, yes. Yes. Emily and Brennan.
Go ahead. Start in.
I mean, okay. The rumors come up and then, you know, the malicious rumor. Emily says rumors, plural. Now, she said she read some texts on his iPad that he texts Cam and Austin that he wanted to have sex with Lily, who's it's her friend, that he DM'd her best friend the night of the hot tub, the double date. It's all a lot. And it's a lot of details and none of it's good. And Brennan basically just says, you know, that didn't happen. And that is the crux of tonight, by the way. Just a lot of details from the girls and the guys just coolly waiting to go get drinks after by saying, no, that didn't happen.
Yeah, it was confusing because when she talked about the messages on his iPad, he didn't really seem to act like he didn't say. But then, I mean, he did shake his head when she said the thing about her ex-best friend, Lily. So, but I'm not sure why Lily is her ex-best friend if he was the one DMing her unless something ended up happening, right? So that was confusing. So I would like to know the story on that. But I don't think there wasn't, they had to stop the reunion at some point. The DMing of the Claire's friend, there were just a couple things where he looked like his response. I didn't believe his response, but then there were times that I did too. So I'll be honest. I don't know what happened this season. I don't know what happened.
I don't either. I mean, and I do think as we kind of talk through tonight, because there was so much, right? I mean, I waffled on some things of how I felt, you know, and there were moments when I thought, wow, you know, Brennan sort of didn't sound as much like a B-bag in this moment. And I think I actually do believe some of the things he's saying. However, my overall takeaway hasn't changed dramatically. It just makes me feel that some people could have carried themselves a little better. But I still feel their frustration and I still believe them, but they just ended up kind of looking shitty. Where I think some other people that I don't think were being as truthful maybe think they came out smelling like roses.
That's a fair assessment. I think last week we said Brennan basically confirmed that he thought he was jilted, quote unquote, by the process and didn't get what he asked for and checked out right away. Okay.
Right.
So that confirmed, and we went, okay, well, know what? So she's pissed. She's pissed that she got completely robbed of this process. She's pissed that she wasted her time. She's pissed he didn't just pull out of it. There was the moment where he said something about you got caught trying to make out with my best friend. And then he said, and then you lied about the Australian guy. And she's like, no, I told you about the Australian guy, but then we never addressed the thing with his best friend. So I don't even know what that, so many things were just like thrown out and then
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't even know. And she did say, no, I told you about the Australian guy, but I didn't tell you right away because of basically how you handle things. And she, oh, then she said, I know it was Lily that told you. So then I think that must be why Lily's her ex-best friend, if I can.
Yeah.
If I'm keeping up.
If you're able to deduce what's going on. It was not that it matters. Was Lily one of the wig girls?
I don't think so because they showed a quick photo of her. Okay. And I don't, she looked different than, but no, maybe she was. I can't imagine. True, no, I don't think. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't get on that well. The wig. No. Right. Yeah.
I don't think it was, but we could be wrong. And also, if we're wrong, okay.
Who cares?
Not sure. Mm-hmm. Either way, Lily seems to be on the outs and seems like she was meddling around. And I forget there was something that he did when they asked about Lily. And he said, Kevin said, were you talking to Lily? And it was just the way Brennan said, no, it just didn't. I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
So and I'm not saying that he was lying the whole time. I'm not saying he was even lying about that. My gut in that moment felt like he was. Doesn't matter. Who cares at this point?
honestly, it's this back and forth of who's being honest and who's being, honestly, it came down to who can lie better or who can handle their shit better and wasn't as emotionally invested. That's who triumphed optics wise tonight, you know? And I don't think that makes whatever. That's where I'm going to probably, some people are going to disagree with me.
Do you have a swear jar in your room right now?
No, but I could find one if you want.
You might need one because every time you say optics, I want you to go put some money in it, and then I want you to send it to me. Because if I ever hear that word again, I don't even want to go to the eye doctor because he might say something about optics. See, now I have to put it. I can't hear that word again.
Yeah, you're in the red for yourself now, Sarah. So, valid point taken, and I will keep that word out of my mouth tonight. The whole thing, like you mentioned about his decision day answer and that he said he was going to say yes to staying friends, but no to staying married. And I don't think that was one of the options.
No, right? Immediately annoyed me. And so, and that's the thing is like, you get Emily's frustration. You get with this friend reset. At one point, he sighed. He looked at his watch. He was being kind of, dismissive. But she was getting pissed. And basically, I don't think that anyone should be saying, well, no, when I said I didn't know what I was going to say on decision day, what I meant was I was going to say yes to being friends. And no to being married. I mean, if someone ever, I hope that if anyone ever says that Dr. Pepper and Cal just put them in headlocks immediately.
Bitch slap them. Yeah. No, I mean, that's that whole like calculated sort of trying to, you know, get out of it by looking good. It's just like, shut up. I still smell a rat. Nothing has really changed with my thoughts about him other than, I'm sure we'll talk about later. He actually owned up to Pia. That was probably the biggest eye-opening part of the night. But, I think Emily in particular, Emily and Claire are so hurt and so upset. And someone said it tonight, like they just haven't had a chance to process. And they weren't able to be open and honest in the moment. And now's their time. And it just came out like a freight train full of shit, you know?
I think Emily is upset.
Yes.
I do not think that Claire is upset. I'm not calling Claire a liar because they both have admitted to lying. There were those texts that Maff's fan released that basically it backed up. I honestly was reading them and I don't know if you guys saw those, but they were on Maff's fan's Instagram, who always has amazing information, and someone, probably Claire's mom, leaked some texts. That's allegedly. No, that's not who. I have no idea who had the text.
We don't know. Might have been.
If you heard our Patreon last week, Claire's mom might have worked her way into our Facebook group, and promptly was booted just because it's not the place. But there were texts between Claire and Cameron. They did back up that. I have a way for us to get out of this. We can start talking about kids and religion, but they admitted that all already.
Right. Right.
So I wasn't sure that I understood. I don't know if I read them incorrectly out of sequence, but I wasn't sure that it showed anything proving that one was more of an asshole than the other. It just seems like they both agreed to something and then neither of them seem to know what the truth is anymore. I really think they both believe themselves in some way, but
right.
I don't think Claire is hurt over missing a relationship with Cameron. There's nothing about that I think is true. I think Emily is hurt by the rejection that she felt from Brennan, like a deep hurt. And that is why she was acting out tonight. Do I wish that she would have handled herself differently tonight? I do.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Last week I was like, you know, everything, I was like, oh, see, yeah, he just confirmed it, this and that. I do understand she was acting out of hurt. Her emotions to me are very raw.
And I think
what you said, what Lauren mentioned, I think it was Lauren that mentioned, like, look, this is our first time. We sort of putting it together. I think they're feeding each other. I think they're getting pissed off more together. And I could see why that would happen. The more you start putting things together and, well, he said this and he said this, but all the time he was doing this and they were laughing at us behind our backs and this and that. And now we're pissed off, you know? So Claire and Cameron had already agreed to say that they were getting a divorce together. They were telling, they plotted that. And so I don't think that she would be upset that she wasn't even upset when she told Emily about it, because she said she was upset about Brennan. She's like, Brennan's not a good guy. That means from her story, Cameron told her about it. So they were in a place where they were talking about, hey, we're going to start dating other people, whatever. They were fine, right? Supposedly. Yeah. I mean, if we're just sort of going by, you get it.
No, I get it. And I that's my overwhelming takeaway, is that to tack on to what you're saying. I think Emily could have handled herself better, you know, and not been as so reactive and, you know, it very much heat of the moment. Claire, see, I think Claire's very upset, has nothing to do with Cameron and her and Cameron's relationship. The reason that I think I feel for these girls so much, I'm annoyed and I wish I could have huddled with them and given them a pep talk, or just not allowed for this to brew and fester as long as it did before they went on TV and ripped it open. But they are very hurt and they're very frustrated and they're very upset that, because I really do believe they are telling the truth. I think some of these details, and I know there were like times when, you know, I guess I'm speaking more about Emily. I mean, Claire too, but like the guys, Brennan, I mean, at one point he's like, when they were going out the second time, the group of guys, when Austin was back and Cameron was back, and he's like, all right, guys, we got this. Just like one more. Yeah, man. Like one more round, you know, I just think they're not emotionally invested in this. They're not hurt. So they are just very good at sticking to a narrative that makes them, that they look good. I'm not saying that there weren't times when Brennan had a point when he's like, look at this like level of maturity, or look at this is what I'm dealing with. Yeah, there were moments I agreed with him that it must have been hard for him in different situations. But I do feel like the level of how upset the girls were to me speaks that they just wanted to snap their necks because the truth was never going to come out the way it should have, if that makes sense.
It does. I mean, listen, I don't think the guys came off looking amazing by any means. When I have my life back after, now that this show is over, the investigation I need to launch, because I don't, you know, Cameron being, I never doubted that his heart story was true. And I believe that he had to have something. Do I think, during the show that he said, this was going to happen no matter what? He did say that on the show. He said that the doctors
in the
told
actual
him this
show. Yes.
Yes. He said something along the lines, and I'm going to paraphrase, but he definitely said something like, this was going to happen no matter what. Was it maybe accelerated by the stress of the show and my thing with Claire? Probably. And then to come on today and say he literally had a broken heart and it wasn't, I was like, all right, already. Like, this was a condition that got, again, I don't know exactly what it is, but I do know people, including my own husband and his sister, that have something I believe that is similar. It is something that can come up. Like my husband's came up once during a very stressful moment in football, and that's how they found out he had it. So that can't, yes. But did he lean into, saying that he had literally had a broken heart tonight, and that it basically kind of alluded to it being, he wouldn't have had it if it wasn't for Claire. I mean, you know, that one was a little bit much for me just in that moment, because I felt, so that's the thing, the way he behaved tonight in certain moments, I felt I started to believe him less about some things. And
Cameron?
But not, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not about his heart condition, not about, but I felt like he was really trying to play up this victim thing of being like a victim of Claire's, when it was clear from both of them that they had agreed to this together. And I don't know if, again, I don't know if it's because he actually liked her and wished it would have worked out when he figured out that she wasn't into him, that he said, okay, I can help us get out of this. Let's be a teammate. I mean, she even said that, like, we were teammates, like we were, and then I don't know what happened. So it's just, anyway, we were on Emily and Brennan, and their whole back and forth. And I think what I wish, because I have a soft spot for Emily, I just do. Okay. I think the girl was gave it her all, and I feel like everybody's deception in this show and in this season was different. Like Lauren even said, you even heard her voice say when he was like, everyone was in on this scheme, and she's like, I wasn't. Like, her relationship blew up
right
ahead of time, you know. Right. And so when they all started feeling like it wasn't going to work, let's make sure that we all come together and we get the best storyline and we all make each other look good on camera. And Claire and Cameron were really playing that game. And then I guess it started blowing apart for them. And so now they're both pissed off at each other about it. Fair enough. But with Emily, I feel like she was more in this, it's not like she sat down and agreed to something. It was that she was being told, you're going to delete diary cams. You are going to do this. So that's why I think her level of just anger, I think it went from hurt to just full blown anger that's gotten worse as they've all sort of, even someone talked about that tonight. I forget who it was, but they were like, you guys are all getting together, and I feel like maybe it's feeding this. I think it was one of the experts that was like,
Yeah.
She was like, maybe you got healing looks like sort of taking a step back from this kind of thing and not, because, you know, it's very easy to rile each other up and start looking at moments. I mean, Emily said they watch the show, they pause moments, they start figuring shit out. So that's why she's so pissed off and hurt. I think hers comes from more hurt. And so saying like, I'm this and you're a six and you wouldn't even approach me at a bar and just, I get it. I get the angle. I do. I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of us understand wanting to just take as many jabs as you can because you feel like you've been given the short end of the stick. But I wanted to just be like, Emily, just say, you know what? You never gave me your all. You didn't deserve me. I'm just going to move on. And that's what I want for her.
Yeah. And I'm not sure, but hopeful that that will be where she gets to, a place that she gets to. You know, adding into that, it makes me wonder what this reunion would have looked like without the accident that she had, because I do think that, you know, they have this dynamic where she's deleting, you know, he's telling her to delete diary cams and he's being controlling and kind of a D-bag, and we hear all these rumors or whatever. But then there was this, you know, total, like, out of left field life and death situation where he's her number one support sort of emotionally, and she maybe had feelings for him to begin with and all this stuff. So, I mean, that doesn't help with how messy and how hurt she feels as well. I wanted just talking about Emily and Brennan, when it was like later on when the whole group got back together, Brennan asked, or Kevin Frazier asked Brennan, why didn't your relationship work? And I wanted to be like, we're a little late in the show for this one. And I think we've heard a lot of reasons, but thanks, Kev. You know, I don't know if you got your cue cards mixed up, but Brennan said, he mentioned though there was this massive mismatch at the beginning and blah, blah, the hurdles he encountered. And Emily's like, well, what hurdles? This like really annoyed me when he said he first saw her, he thought she was a pretty girl, cool, fun, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then an hour later, her friends are telling him that she gets ghosted all the time. She loves one night stands. She's selfish. If those are your friends, I mean, what the fuck, you know?
Okay.
And then he's like, oh, and then I already was feeling turned off at this point. Fuck you. That means that really, really got me going.
I know. And I think that is why. And again, listen, everyone's going to have their own opinion on this. Okay. And everyone relates to a different person in this in these shows differently too. Like we can,
right?
Like
right.
I have many times been like, I really relate to Lauren and beating myself up and trying too hard with something that I probably shouldn't have. A younger version of me relates to Emily in the sense of being like, why am I being judged for who I am and who I'm being open, honest about who I am. In that moment, exactly. And so that's the problem with Brennan trying to, you know, being able to keep his cool, like you said, because he just doesn't give a shit, right?
Right.
So that sucks. And that makes you more infuriated and more spirally. So keeping his cool and just being like, yeah, the negative thing. I mean, look at it. See, you know, first of all, when he was like, you know, she just brought my energy down, bro. I'm like, all right. He didn't say bro, but he might as well have. Kind of things. But that, him saying that he basically started judging her immediately. And that is another place where I go, okay, this is another thing that Emily's coming from. She has felt judged, shit on, blah, 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 told, you know, and now she's seeing it all back. She's watching the show back. She's thinking about everything. She's hearing Claire tell her whatever Claire heard from Cameron and whatever. She's seeing things on iPads and she's just like losing it. So when he said that, but don't you remember at the beginning of this season?
Yes, I know where you're going.
We said Emily's friends kind of seem
shitty.
Shitty at the beginning. And I don't even remember which one said what because it was so long ago, but I remember them kind of being like, even when they were like dress shopping or something and they were out together and they took a couple digs at her. Mm-hmm. And whether or not they said that to him at the wedding, I don't remember, but I believe it.
I do too. And that's, and also, what if it was Lily, the one that he apparently ended up, you know, I mean, either way, that's just, it's not right for her friends to say anything, but also, even if her friends did say something, that's all he needs to hear. And then he's like, he's hitchhiking, trying to get out of there. Like the whole, I'm on the show. I really believe in marriage. I'm going to get to know someone. I'll tell you what, Emily shed a lot of tears tonight, but you know what looked wonderful the whole time? Her makeup.
It did. I don't know what kind of makeup she was wearing.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling I might. Perhaps our sponsor Thrive, which is one of the greatest makeup companies in my personal opinion, and I believe Mary's too.
Yes.
We love them. First of all, they give back. So every product purchased, they donate products and funds to help communities thrive. That's why it's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. I am obsessed, Mary. Look at this. I'm wearing my, I love the eye brightener. And so Brilliant Eye Brightener, I have the Stella and then I put Aurora on. And so I start with the Stella because it really opens them up. And then I put the Aurora. And I have basically every shade at this point because you can do it up more glam for night. Do you feel like possibly she was wearing the mascara that you're obsessed with?
I honestly think that she might have been because her lashes went up to the heavens. Okay. The Liquid Lash Extensions mascara, I know I've talked about it all the time, but it's because I am obsessed with it. Super, super easy to clean off. I always mention that, but that's because I've struggled with that in the past. But you have no idea how many times people ask me, like, oh, where do you get your lashes? Where do you get your extensions? I literally don't. It comes out of a tube. And also, my lashes are stronger than ever, and they're healthy. It's the best.
We love them. Please, you can refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. It's CAUSE Medics. Right now, exclusive 10% off your first order, Thrive Cosmetics / my podcast, and then it's automatically applied at checkout. Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/ my podcast, 10% off. There were a lot of tears shed. Now, there was the whole thing about the positive and the negative and Kevin showing that clip and her getting upset and saying, I even spun my neck. We saw her be a trooper. We saw her head get smashed in. We saw her get beautiful extensions destroyed and then cut off with little tiny manicure scissors.
Yeah. Oh, no.
We saw a broken wrist. We saw so many things. So I think that at the end of the day, and this is not, I'm not excusing anything Brennan said, but at the end of the day, they were a full mismatch. Okay. This guy is, he's judgmental. I think he's just much more, conservative. I'm not
he's
talking
a stick
about politics.
In the mud.
I mean, I think Shiva kind of said that. She was like, I'm fun and you can't handle that, basically. Like,
right. Like, without a wig, you don't have a whole lot going on, pal. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. God, even when they went and showed a couple clips of them having fun, I was like, what? That, I mean, there looked like there was a decent chance for them to be a friend, even. And he did say that he never really was transparent with how he felt. He definitely kept saying it's because he thought that was the right thing to do to protect her. I think he was more worried about making himself look good now that we know that basically that's what everyone agreed to anyway. But I think that for, I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say, to be honest. Jump in.
Well, I was gonna, I don't fucking know. All I know is that just seems because I mean, we are going to stop talking about Brennan and Emily at some point, but we'll go over to Patreon. But when he was talking to the experts, he seems like someone I wouldn't mind knowing. It's like he had his shit together. I just don't know if he's like deserves an Oscar nod or what. I don't think that he was lying when he says that, okay, he wasn't into her, she wasn't his type. Okay, that's fair. But then the whole thing back and forth with, oh, we made, you know, Emily says we made out every night on the honeymoon. Like she didn't believe that he wasn't attracted to her. And he said it was only one time. And I don't know, I was kind of torn with that. He seemed really, had a lot of conviction in the way he said that. But then why would she? She doesn't seem like someone who's going to make that up. She's like, yeah, I kissed an Australian guy. So like, she doesn't come across as somebody who needs to add, you know, lies in to get her point across. I mean, she had enough.
Right. And she's been is who she is.
Yeah.
The moment they introduced her to us. Right. So, but I think, you know, there was one thing where there was basically, he said that she held him hostage during this process and he didn't want to be with her. And I think we know a little bit different. We know that he would be cool with her when she would be a good girl and he'd take her to lunch. And he didn't make anything clear to her, I don't think. Because he even admitted that, right? He said, I wasn't transparent and blah, blah, blah. But when he said that I was going to break up with you, but you said you would make my life a living hell, right? Mm-hmm. You would ruin my life, something. And she says, well, you're a grown ass man. He's like, but you said you would make my life a living hell. Now, she kind of went, I don't think I said that to anybody, but I think even she was like, it sounds like something I might say when I was
might
pissed
have spewed
off.
That out after a couple glasses of white. I don't know. Yeah. You know, I was pissed off. Right.
Yeah. And do I believe she probably said something like that? Sure, actually. I do. Yeah. And I think she probably believes it too. Something along the lines. I don't know the exact wording. But I guess for me, I would say if somebody said that to me and I got nothing for them to ruin my life with.
Yes. Right? Good point.
I'm not blaming him for what she said to him, right? But I'm just saying when she said you're a grown ass man a couple times, there was a couple times I was like, well, I mean, that part is accurate. Ruin my life, but I'm really unhappy. So I'm going to leave and it's going to be better for both of us because that's a better choice to make. Because what you got bodies in your basement and you're worried that she's right. going to tell the cops? I mean, that's not, I just don't understand exactly what it was that made him think, oh, I better stick it out till decision day because this girl sure is going to, what's that threat? I guess that part is where I just sort of, that story falls apart for me.
Me too. That, it doesn't add up. He absolutely would not stay together for her. He might have stayed together for a bunch of other reasons, maybe not to let his parents down, maybe because he shouted how divorce wasn't an option for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the show. But maybe because there's a timeline, maybe about getting paid. I don't know how this works. I read shit online, but he saw most of the couples just crumble right away. He saw how easy it was, you know, easy, not emotionally, but just, you know, Orion and Lauren, that was a quick one. He could have jumped ship. He absolutely didn't need to stay for her, nor do I think he would have. The only thing I do think about sometimes is when that whole dramatic thing after her accident, when he was like, I almost lost you. It's because I listened to you. And it was like a soap opera. I think that pissed him off because he couldn't leave right after the accident because he would have looked like a monster. So I do think that there was probably that's what he was mad about.
Right. Well, because there was another point when he even said when she was just not having it and giving Kevin shit. And that was another thing is there,
it's
Emily said,
look.
That was, yeah, that was at one point she was like, I think she's very frustrated because at that point, whenever they filmed this, she'd seen after parties. She'd seen people sort of seem to side with him. And I think that she was, she felt, I think her entire attitude tonight came from feeling like nobody gives them accountability. So I'm on a one woman mission to do it.
Yep.
And, and so did the other, you know, so, and Becca and Claire also had that. Who started it, I don't know, but that's where the three of them seemed to be coming from. And was the execution of that handled great? Probably not.
Right, right. It didn't land the way I think they wanted it to.
But he was like, what he did say at one point, he goes, you let this rumor, you know, we were doing fine, and you let this rumor tear us apart, he said. And I'm like, wait, okay. You weren't doing fine. You weren't torn apart. You guys were fucking done. I mean, you said you were done and that you felt that you were mismatched. And so you figured out, you got in on this plan to figure out how to get out of it unscathed. And boy, did everyone get scathed. If that's the opposite of unscathed, I don't know.
Well, but it is tonight, and I think it might be. it just killed me too when Kevin was asking him about all that, about what he was so averse to from the beginning, and he mentioned, and Brennan mentions that her friends told him all this, and then did you hear at one point she's like, he said something like, yeah, and then like right away he found out that she has no idea where her money goes, and then Emily's like, I have more money than you. He's like, no, you don't. You lied about that. So, and then Claire goes, and he goes, that's not what I was looking for in a future wife. And Claire goes, that's fair. That's fair. Did you see that? It was so bizarre. Claire's like a pull cord doll that I wonder if sometimes it, like it's, you know, I don't know, like a skipping record, like it plays the wrong thing. I just don't know what's going on sometimes. She's like, that's fair. That's fair. And it was just, what? And then Becca jumps in. She goes, can you see how that would drive someone crazy to Brennan? But
And I think Becca was coming from a place of that's where I was going crazy because I was not being told what the problem was. So I had to sit there and make up reasons in my head about what the problem was. Let's talk about how frustrating it probably was for Austin to get the trots in the middle of the show. That's not something
excited. Did he get the trots? And also, did the trots get on his beard somehow? Because why did he have to shave it halfway through the reunion? I mean, that must have been a producer's nightmare. I can't imagine. I mean, he just shows up just poor guy.
Well, it's so funny because they had shown different, they obviously cut the whole thing all together that was filmed all that day. So last week people were like, where does beard go? And then it's like, and then you find out it's because he, you know, had some tummy issues, went back to his hotel, woke up, decided to shave his beard and come back. I mean, I think by the end when it was so, I actually was like, I need to cut my Hulu off. I need to do something.
Yeah.
Because I can't. Like I want it out of there. And so I think also it must have been a real long day. I think that's why it just kept getting, people were tired. They came in with a mission.
I feel like the people that work at the actual building where they air or where they film these reunions and stuff, like there's going to be a high turnover rate between now and the next season. I mean, I can't imagine that had to be a tough place to be. I mean, I would need 7 episodes just to talk about one of them. Who else do you want to talk about now?
Well, what after that, the men gathered and basically, you know, Kevin said, you guys tried to play a game and you guys are unhappy. Well, we've heard you're unhappy because you think the girls are ruling the roost. So let's try to decipher what is real. And so, and then Brennan says, well, you can want to be in a marriage and not want to be with someone in a marriage. And everyone was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I miss what that meant? But
yeah.
And again, just because he was calm doesn't mean that he's an angel. Okay. I was glad that he took some accountability. And especially even at the end when Lauren was like, you got to let them tell the story, guys. Like, they got to get 10 words out. You both keep, you know, there was that weird Claire and Emily moment where Emily seemed genuine upset. And I'm sorry. I know that Claire is upset. I really do. But for some reason, it just keeps coming off like a Susan Lucci moment for me. And I don't know what to do with it.
It does.
I don't know why.
Well, we don't know exactly where it's coming from. I think that's why it feels more artificial, if you will.
That might be it. Because with Emily, like I said, I relate to, I get it. I could see if I was just sitting there and I was so mad and someone was being so calm because they just didn't give a shit anymore. Yes. And then being like, see, this is what I mean. And then you're like, motherfucker, I'm smiling. Yeah. And I want to, like, I could
just. Spit nails.
I just wish someone would have given her a Xanax before. And I have some if she needs any. But I guess he said, you don't, what did Brennan say? He's like, you don't go through this process with ill intentions. This show's different. There's other shows out there where you could kind of actually trying to, like, I'm sure he's referring to like a Love is Blind. It's on Netflix. Yeah. It's like all these people truly, you can tell they're coming on for the 95% of them are just trying to get a, you know, an eyewear sponsor or whatever the common one is. I don't know. But, he said this, I felt like it was like free matchmaking and I didn't think my entire life would be disclosed. Kevin, it's like you gotta remember you're on a reality show. It is a matchmaking show, but it also follows your lives for 8 weeks closely. So you aren't going to get to hide who you are.
No. Did he not see the show before? Truly? I mean, he had to have. And I just think that it's like that that air about him of like, well, I want this free matchmaking. I want a bride, but I'm not gonna do the rest of it. I just want the part that I want, and then I'm gonna fucking ruin it for everybody else, which just again, huge disservice to whoever he was matched with. AKA Emily. I mean,
yeah, it's basically saying, I wanted to be matched with someone. And then I wanted to like hide who I am and hide who we are and hide our issues and come off cool on camera. It's like, well, that's not going to lead to anything. I mean, and he said, well, challenge them on their story. They crack and their lies crack. And I don't really know where any lies were cracking, right? Other than between Cameron and Claire, because I have no idea what happened. I feel like her mom could sit me down and tell me one thing. Cameron's, not mom, but
neighbor
friend,
mom
lady. Neighbor mom lady. She could tell me one thing. I'd end up believing them both. I don't know. So he did admit, he said, yes, I did myself a disservice for not being transparent, for letting the marriage last too long. I tried to protect her feelings, and I ended up hurting myself and her. Those are all true things, but the thing I don't believe about him is I don't believe he came from a place of trying to protect her feelings. I think he was always trying to protect his image, and why he couldn't just say this match just isn't working for me. I guess that's what he means by protecting her feelings. But didn't he say that he pulled her aside and told her that it wasn't working? And she agreed with that.
I I think so. That's another question I had, because that went back and forth a bunch of times too, you know, about how much, how open and honest. I mean, so did he tell her he was? Oh, that's right. So he told her he wasn't attracted to her, but remember, or it came up that he told her off camera, you're pretty, you're this, you're just, you're not my type or something, right? I mean, so she knew that. So that's enough to kind of set the scene, but there must have been, there's so much happened on this season that we didn't see that they're not even using as air quotes receipts. I mean, even when they showed some of the footage that was like, oh, never before seen, whatever, like of them kind of laughing or having fun. There was a whole lifetime that happened in 8 weeks that we didn't see that could have made someone feel like something was either going to work out or not going to work out, and we didn't see it. I mean, these little examples they have of the stupid double date, you know, that's not enough to sell me on anything. I mean, these are just receipts that they have.
Right. And that's when, during that moment when they all were talking, that's when Cameron brought out his, he's like, I wouldn't tap action. Out. He had brought out his EKG. Again, I don't think anyone thought he didn't have a heart thing. Like, I don't remember anyone saying that the last. I think he's just being defensive about the fact that he got kind of a hall pass and didn't right. have to film yeah. a lot of this shit show. So, but yeah, it was, even when he showed that to Kevin, Kevin's like, you could tell his face was like, dude, I believe you. But now you're being a little dramatic with the like broken heart thing. It was
he did. I had a question for you, because did you take away from that when he pulled out the actual receipt size receipt of his EKG, where he said, this is where my heart stopped, and this is where I was shocked back.
Three times.
So does that mean like he's saying he died? Or his heart stopped and it wasn't nothing. But I mean, that's how serious this was. But then in other times he's like, I'm fine, everything's fine, you know, it just seems like he was a little more dramatic when he needed to. And also when he started weeping or whatever at one point, I don't know, I honestly think him and Claire should be on Broadway. I don't know.
I know, because again, I believe he had a heart thing. I believe he had the surgery. I don't even think that Married at First Sight would just be like, oh, sure, a note from your doctor. Like, they're going to make sure and they're going to be careful about, they got lawsuits to worry about. They need to make sure they're handling whatever it is that you have going on correctly. And that is why, like, I remember him filming and saying, oh, you know, I can't really go out with anyone. I have to kind of stay here because I have to sort of let my heart, whatever, heal, blah, blah, blah. But when he said tonight, there's just like, he goes back to, I just feel like he was trying too hard this episode to make himself seem victimized a little bit, because he said, and maybe that's not the right word, but he said, this happened right after we announced our divorce to the group. And that was just like very dramatic and traumatic, kind of basically alluded to that being, but they rehearsed that.
Right.
Exactly. They rehearsed that together. They said they were going to say that. So I don't think that's what made, I think the stress of filming, I think the stress of the fact that they decided to live out this lie that they got way out of their hands and out of control and started backfiring left and right, whatever underlying condition, the condition that he had, it was underlying and then it came out. But I don't think Claire gave him a truly broken heart that made him die. I mean, almost die. I just, you know what I mean? Like, yes. I think everything about his illness is true, but then today he was sort of playing it up a little bit. But I also think he was trying to defend himself and saying, this, I really did have this, and this is why I couldn't go do certain things. This is why I couldn't go meet up at bars or do this and that. So I wish everyone would stop saying that. So
yeah,
sometimes in trying to defend yourself, tonight you came out.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You know,
everybody crazy.
Everybody cray. You know what's another thing that can help and lead to, I mean, I don't know. They say clean eating is a smart thing to do if we're talking about heart health and stuff. I mean, I'm not making any claims here, but it just reminded me of something.
That's true, because if you got Green Chef, the number one meal kit for clean eating, maybe you're just going to be a little bit healthier, a little more healthy than you expected. They deliver pre-proportioned, prepped, quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients, organic fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, you name it, they got it. They sent us a box of food this week. Thank God, because it's been a big Married at First Sight week, so I haven't had to figure out what I'm going to do for dinner, because they keep delivering us delicious meals. I know you love the convenience of it yourself, Mary.
Are you kidding me? It is the best thing. Literally, every week, they have 15 new recipes that are ready in 25 minutes or less. Music to my ears. Okay. And they deliver you everything you need. So you get every pre-measured ingredients, some produce, pre-chopped, whatever the case may be, custom sauces, everything shows up. So you get all your time back. You don't have to go to the grocery store. It's the best.
It's the best. And April is Earth Month, and sustainability is a core to the Green Chef brand. They offset 100% of delivery emissions, 100% of plastic in each box. And if you, we've had HelloFresh in the past. So, they are a partnership now. So Green Chef is owned by HelloFresh. So there's a wider array of meal plans to choose from, something from everyone, something for everyone. You can switch between the brands like we do. And we have a discount because that's what we do. So you go to greenchef.com/mypodcast50. Use code mypodcast50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months, okay? This is, I think, the best deal we've had with them. greenchef.com/mypodcast50. Use code mypodcast50, 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months, and really enjoy the number one meal kit for eating well. I feel like, okay, so when they all gathered, should we talk about the experts first? Because when they gathered with the experts, I know this is a little out of order, but
we are all over the map. There was no order tonight, Sarah. So no, I don't think we should be held to that either.
That's a good point. Pepper looked like me. She looked like she came in there. She looked. And I'm not talking about physically, you know, she looked beautiful, but she just looked like she needed to go on a 1 month vacation on the beach and not be spoken to, not be done anything. I just brought margaritas to. She looked exhausted, disappointed, sad.
Yeah.
She needs the feelings that.
Yeah, you're both in need of an eat, pray, love week or two, and that's what Peps needed. That was just sitting them down with the women separately from the men, I do think was helpful, because otherwise I don't think anyone they realized they had to split these groups up a little bit. I thought it was entertaining when they sat down with experts or whatever, the girls, and you know, Becca said she's sorry she didn't get to know them in an authentic way. But when it all comes out and Becca basically says, well, we didn't, in this high pressure situation, like we didn't feel safe going to you. I don't think they were content with that answer at all.
Oh, Pepper and Cal, they rolled their eyes.
Yes.
So hard. I could feel it in my own asshole. they were like, no. And I agree with that, because here's the thing. Whether or not we think they're there all the time, or we've seen enough of them lately in the past couple seasons, sometimes we're like, where are the experts need to be here more? I know that they're accessible to them.
Right.
And I think their point was, look, if these guys set up a big scheme that you wanted no part of, you needed to come to someone And again, we can't put the onus on the, but they were like, why didn't you come to us and say, or when we had a group sitting, say, look, Austin's asking me not to say shit on camera. And so I don't know how to do this relationship. Can you help us?
And, right.
And I don't necessarily understand Becca and Austin's version of this conspiracy and this lie and right. So I don't really,
it wasn't talked about really.
Yeah. Like we get Claire and Cameron's, we don't understand it, but we get that they started it together and then someone changed the plan in the middle. I think Cameron and started talking shit or whatever. And to your point, that's why Claire is upset. But Becca says it was the men. They wanted to look a certain way and their anxiety heightened our anxiety. And then we felt paranoia and we handled it differently. And Pia says, we told you we would be there. Is that why you don't think you could come to us? And that's when Becca said what you said. But I think that was the most kind of clear answer that I think I got was because for Becca and Austin's part. And also, honestly, for Brennan and Emily, I don't ever feel like I've heard that Emily agreed to any kind of scheme. She seemed to be saying her version of it or what happened with them was more like he started in on this thing. We're going to make each other look good on camera. We're not going to talk shit, this and that. And then when she would do something that he deemed not in agreement with that or negative, he would say, delete that. Don't do that. We're not doing this on camera. And that's why he was so, pissy with Pia and be like, no, we're not doing this. We're not doing this and all that shit. So, but Becca and Austin's, I don't feel like I have my brain wrapped around what part of their scheme, what their scheme was.
I don't think I do either. When Emily challenged Pia and said, well, I would say that our marriage, we wanted the marriage to work out so bad. That's why we didn't reach out, that, we were trusting them and going along with them to make their marriages survive. That makes sense for her and Brennan. Like you said, he would like scold her if she was too honest or take her to lunch if she shut the fuck up, But with Becca and Austin, it's almost, I very much do believe Becca and I very much do believe Austin. To me, it feels like Austin just wants to go with the flow. He wants to get invited to the party. He wants to know where happy hour is going to be. So he just kind of keeps the peace with the friends. He didn't make Becca a priority. It does surprise me that Becca, because Becca has her own therapist. She's been very vocal that she's very comfortable in therapy. It does surprise me a little bit that she wasn't a little more, not forceful, but just suggestive. Like, I think we really need to talk to someone. However, maybe that's what happened that we saw like halfway through the season. And she was just finally getting upset when she said, I'm now being honest on camera. We need help. And he's not. And now I don't know who I'm getting. Am I getting the real Austin or not the real Austin? So I just think they might a problem, like almost like they weren't, it's like by default, they got fucked up in this trying as hard,
Yeah. Because even Cal said, are you saying, so you guys are saying all the men were controlling and Becca said, you can't ask that broad question to all of us. And Cal's like, well, that's what is being presented. And so I think that's where everyone's confusion lies, because it's like, no, Brennan, yes, seemed controlling, right? Brennan was trying to control a narrative. He was trying to control what Emily said about him, what was brought up on camera about him, about them, blah, blah, blah. And from his viewpoint, so he says, was trying to also protect how she was presented. So even Becca was admitting like, yeah, no, I don't think she thought like Austin was necessarily controlling, quote unquote, but she felt like he he was going along with, oh yeah, again, I still stand by my theory. Brennan was like, Austin, don't let her make you look bad. And he's like, okay, what do I do? And then this producer that was a problem for them started saying, this is what you got to do. If you want, you know, you got to, hey, put some flowers out. Look like you're a nice guy. And then that started fucking with Becca's head because she's like, wait a second. He's doing all these things. Oh, but it's only when he's being told to by production. So now I'm getting mixed messages. So that's where her anger must be coming from, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think too that right around that conversation when Cal, you know, they were talking and Becca was sharing, Cal says, well, if somebody was treating you poorly, we'd want to know because as experts, we'll handle it. We have the equipment to talk about it if they have issues. I think the biggest problem was that all these people actually had become friends with their spouses a little bit, or they were kind of getting along in a, you know, I think even though I think Brennan was being controlling, I think when he was in the mood to play ball, I think they probably had a fun time, you know? And I think Emily just wanted to keep that going as much as she could. I think it's the same with Becca and Austin, that she didn't want to go against the grain if Austin was wanted to be in the cool guys club and this is what they're doing. So she was just like, all right, we'll just get through this, you know, get to decision
day.
If
there was a chance they would come around. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So they were they're coming from this place of that. And
that's why I think it's hard. Like when Cal said, well, if somebody's treating you poorly, let us know. I don't think in those moments early on that it wasn't like a typical domestic dispute where someone is treating, you know, it was kind of, oh, we're all in this together. So I think the lines were so blurred for so long until the girls realized how damaging this was and how, oh shit, we're not going to end up married here. Here we thought if we just go along with this, we can get to the end, look good, and still have a potential marriage. But the guys weren't interested in that. And that's where I think everything, there was like the big fork in the road with everybody.
Right. Because then they talked to the guys and now Austin and Cam's heart calmed down and Austin's dump ended.
His Imodium kicked in.
Austin's three-hour dump. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, you know how much I hate that topic.
I know.
I can't. If that was me,
I know.
If I got the trots while I was filming this show and I had to leave and it was, my trots were so bad that I had to shave my face, I would, like, I don't think I'd come back.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I don't know how you come back from that. I'd be out of the country.
I would change my name. It would be witness protection time. I mean, that is, and listen, we've been to that building where they were there, the bathroom sitch. It's everything's right there. I mean,
it's right across from all right the dressing rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, that is,
it's a one-stop shop. So I don't, but you just said if I were the trot so bad I had to shave my face, might be the funniest thing in the world. Oh my God. Well,
so, but he made it back clean shaven and I have a feeling he might have had to shave elsewhere too. And
it's a full Brazilian.
I'm sorry. You guys, we have completely lost it. Okay. Have all of you. And you know what I also realized while we're talking about all this? That the way I was screaming at the TV tonight and like just thinking about, oh, what if I just put my head in the oven right now and ask John to shove me all the way in and not let me out until this is over. And just, I know that you guys were doing that too. And I know probably some of you are screaming at us right now because you don't know, or you think you figured it out or you have figured it out or something, or you disagree, obviously it doesn't matter. But when the men came in and Pepper, Pepper was like, I was just shocked. And we hoped you had good intentions and find out there's been a plan all along, and ask Cam why he thought of this. And well, why did you convince? He's like, who did I convince? Who? I can't do it. I'm so jealous that I can't do
the only Matika. I just have written down Dr. Peeper. That's not how.
That's pretty good. Dr. Peeper. Dr. Peeper.
I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. Oh.
Now he says I didn't talk about any plan on what the other men should do. I take accountability from my part of the optics and what I thought was needed. Again, word salad, didn't really get what he meant. But that, I think, is the core of the confusion of everything else. I understand that Cameron and Claire had a plan. I understand that he reached out to Lauren and said, if you need out of this, I have a way, right? So right. I don't know if he started trying to go like, hey, is everyone miserable? I have a plan, something. And then the text that Maff's fan had were something like, signing something within 30 days, which by the way, Claire was like, okay, cool. Yeah, great. Yeah, I'm onto that too. So agree. So confusing.
Yeah. I feel like Claire agrees with a lot, I think.
Yeah. Well, I just don't really think that he was, I think he was trying to say, I didn't get Austin in on a plan. I mean, and none of the guys spoke up. So
yeah. Well, that was part of the plan, though. I think that's what they just didn't put it all out there. I think they're like, less is more. Let the girls, you know, burn out. Let them just spiral out until there's nothing left. And that's what happened. And the guys just don't, you know, not to say they don't care enough, but they just handled it very differently. I certainly don't think Brennan cares. I'm not Cam. I honestly. Lauren will always be my litmus, my truth teller. So I believe her. And I say that when I believe a lot of several of them on this show, but I believe her because she wasn't as in it as much. And when she, the venom between her and Cameron,
I'm not the one or the two. I was.
Yes.
I wouldn't, and he looked, I mean, I'm not going to lie.
He looked afraid.
He looked scared. Yeah. Yes. I was like, he's going to go on and be like, I got another broken heart, Lauren, because I think she knows more, saw more, especially since he did reach out to her at one point to see if she wanted. And she was like, I'm out already. I got the worst fucking match there is.
In 17 seasons.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's not. There's been worse matches for sure. Worse men on the show. But she, it probably as far as like
up there.
An actual match. She is real up there. And she observed everything that was going on. And she's like, I kept showing up. I'm under contract. I watched him drive around, show up with a six pack of beer the rest of the season. I tried to just get through it. Like, but it was funny. Cal was like, I'm just completely conflicted. I'm hearing the flip side of what the girl says, and that they're more back and forth. And then Pepper was me. I am Pepper. Pepper is me. Pepper just said, I'm just sorry for all the pain. Fucking stop it. Basically, yeah, she was like, I can't keep going back and forth. I don't know. I mean, I liked when Michael jumped in and said, I hope there was a healing element to being able to speak your truths. And so when Michael was very caring towards Cam, that's confused me because Michael seems to have a pretty good head on his shoulders as far as, almost like he's our other litmus here. So that was kind of confusing.
I agree. However, I think that the guys would let Michael know how much they want Michael to know. Michael wasn't part of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I do think that he was sort of removed from that. And Michael's, he's going to be friendly with the guys and hang out. It makes sense to me that him and Austin have a maybe a friendship where they see each other a bit more or whatever. But with the girls, I think, you know, like they would, for example, if Chloe wanted to hang out with them, they would let her know exactly what's going on, which it seems like they have a little bit. She's in on it more. So I, because that crossed my mind too. Like, I trust Michael's view of Cameron, but I don't think, I think Cameron and the guys have decided who they want to see, how much of what, you know, a little
right,
bit.
Right. So, and he didn't get to, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he talked about his one-on-one with Chloe was illuminating. And I was like, was it for you? Because for us, it got confusing that she basically said that she wasn't telling you what she needed, even though she kept insisting that was what she needed. So it was not illuminating for me. But yeah. Chloe, when she said something, when this was during the big group thing at the end, and she was like, I've just never seen so much like sadness and resentment and anger. And if there's ever been a evidence of reasons to live your truth and be authentic, this is it. And this is,
yeah.
This is lying and scheming and bullshitting everybody. This is what it's gotten you. And I was like, if I could have stood up off my couch, you know, and clapped, I couldn't because I was so tired.
Yeah. But, like a slow clap. It needed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was good. Cause I felt like I felt for her and for Michael sitting there watching all of this. I mean, they were both like, our experience wasn't like that. We feel a little shooketh by everything going on. And, did you catch when Cameron said that the girls weren't even friends during filming? And Brennan was like, I regret that I got Emily to like Claire because she hated her at the beginning.
Yes.
I wonder if that's true.
I know. That's crazy to me. There's part of me that wonders if, okay, yeah, maybe that is true. Maybe they all didn't, you know, get off well, or
they
whatever.
They trauma bonded.
Exactly. And I think, yeah, I mean, that's what this is.
There was one thing that Emily kept repeating tonight. She kept saying to Brennan, if that helps you sleep at night. And I don't know if what he's saying on this show is helping him sleep at night, but I do know that attitude sheets will. So if he comes out of this and isn't able to sleep at night, I would like to suggest, even to you, Brennan, that you can get $35 off your order of the most comfortable sheets ever, in my opinion, and in Mary's opinion, and a lot of other people's opinion, because they got a whole bunch of 5-star reviews, for Attitude, which are clean bamboo. They're made from clean bamboo, and you won't get any, they're not old cotton sheets, clean bamboo. They feel like silk. Okay, silk.
They feel like silk.
They keep you cool. They're good for your hair. They're good for your skin. They're good for the environment. I keep ordering them using my own code.
I know. I thank God for the codes. I love them. These are the best gifts, but I also will not sleep on anything else. They're unbelievably soft. They have over 20,000 5-star reviews. In a sleep study, sleep efficacy improved by 1.5% per night, racking up a whopping extra 43 hours of sleep per year. So the number of hours that you lose to watching Married at First Sight, you can make up with sleep with Attitude Sheets.
Yes. And if Brennan isn't telling the truth and he can't sleep at night, he can try these. I'm going to reiterate that. You can go to attitude.com/mypodcast to get $35 off your order plus free shipping. It's only for a limited time, so you better go now, attitude.com/mypodcast, $35 off your order, plus free shipping, get some good sleep, do it well for the environment, all the things. When they sat down at the group at the end, and I don't know what happened. Again, I know it was a long day. Emily was upset from the beginning. And I know that Claire was upset, but when I don't know what the two of them talked about in the green room, or if they just got traumatized from hearing Austin take a 4-hour dump. But they were when they came back, I mean, Brennan sat down on the couch. She was like looking at his phone and she's like, don't look at me. And he was like, yes. What am I looking at? And I was like, oh no, wait, now what's happening with Claire and Brennan? And then that is when, I mean, that to me, this is, it was messy, but this, it just fell to pieces.
Well, it was like, I don't know. I just remember going out at a certain point in my life, younger years ago. And just like the joke was, I knew if I was having drinks, I was going to end up crying. It just felt like the end of a night when somebody's phone's in the toilet. Everybody's just upset. You know, I mean, it just felt like everything was just coming to a head, if you will.
It did. That's true. It felt like the ended of a bad night at a nightclub because mm-hmm. when they kept trying, it was just very strange when Cameron, they said, okay, Kevin wants to know about the, first of all, he said, I'm hoping for a civil elevated convo. And I was like, yeah.
All right, Kev.
I mean, the way he kept his composure and said that with a straight face, I would love, by the way, to host one of these things, I think. But then I see this and I'm like, they would be like, Sarah, you can't actually wrap your hands around.
You can't run and jump on someone's back, Sarah.
Yeah.
You don't get to ride them around piggyback trying to muffle their mouths or trying to take their mouths shut.
You can't tackle Cameron and just go, speak the truth, motherfucker. Is this bad for your heart? Yeah, you can't.
How's your ticker?
Oh, again, not making fun of his medical condition. We're just... You know, we're having
just making
fun
of all of it, honestly,
of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But they start. He's like, Cameron's like, so Brennan and I went to. He said Union Station, which I was like, oh, where the trains are. No, it's a bar, obviously. And then right when he says that, Claire was like, keep lying, just keep lying. And then Emily's like, please. And I went, wait, what? Like, what is he lying about that they went to a bar and? But I guess I don't know. They didn't know where he was going, or maybe but they just kept interrupting him. And then Claire, okay, listen, this is a moment for Claire. She says, you wanted to fuck my best friend and you told Cam and you lied about it. And he was like, what? And she goes, that you were fucking other people. And Brennan goes, wait, you just said I wanted to, but then also you said I did. Like, so which is it? And she's like, either way, it's the same thing. I'm like, oh no, it's not. That's for sure not.
Yeah, right? A little bit different. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoopsie, Claire.
If you made a gross comment, which he obviously should not say to anyone while he's married, shouldn't say, oh, I really want to bang Claire's best friend or whatever. Then yeah, tacky, gross, not good, but very different than if he actually did. So I think we determined that he did not, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. These gals are tired at this point in the night. They're just real tired. And then Emily goes, well, you wanted to fuck my best friend. And Brennan's like, well, you said that before that rumor wasn't true. And Emily says, it doesn't matter. And then Brennan's like, facts matter. And I swear to God, my head was spinning like a bowling ball going sideways. I just couldn't. How many best friends? Listen, if you're listening, Married at First Sight franchise, no more housewarming parties, no more mm-mm. friends. How about mm-mm. nobody at the wedding? They can bring one person, and every conversation has to be filmed. Because it's too much. It's not working.
Honestly, it's the same production company as Love is Blind. I don't want them to do that process, but take these two and put them in a pod mm-hmm. and don't let anyone in. Don't let anyone talk to them. And that's it. That's the only way. Yeah. I remember a couple seasons ago when Alyssa, the good person, basically yes. was like, she was like, yeah, at the wedding, his best friend said he's like a workaholic. And I was like, ew, that's not for me. And these people, first of all, they all need better friends. And then they all need friends just need to be under some kind, I don't know, just if they want to be at the wedding, they have to have their mouths duct tape shut or something.
Yes.
Like, because, and also on the other end of that, don't be so judgmental that if a friend says something to you, yeah, of course, first impression, you're going to be like, wait, what? But talk to the person about it, maybe. Don't just decide then and there that you're completely done with this marriage that just took place 15 minutes ago.
I mean, can you imagine just being so, you know, like someone's like, oh, I heard so-and-so has BO after the gym. You're like, yuck, gross. These people are so, why would you do this show? If you're so affected by things like, why would you do Married at First Sight? Brennan should also be with Alyssa. I think they would be a really good match.
Sure. Yeah, that's good. They can be a match.
Like a judgmental stick in the mud match.
Yeah. Because, and that's the thing is like you said with Lauren calling people out, because when Cam does, he likes to do a thing where he looks like confused and bewildered. Now,
yes,
in that moment, I feel like he looked confused and bewildered because he's like, wait, I was just answering the story about the double date conversation and now everybody's screaming at me and I haven't even told the story yet. But Lauren was like, you can look bewildered all you want. That shit don't fly with me. And she was like, the dresses weren't about colluding. This was us like, bearing together, but she was like, stop poking the bear. And I, oh God, I could just like, my entire body went, I just like, if I was Cameron, I would get up and I would walk over to her and I would be like, I'm so sorry.
Oh, he probably had to have an escort out of there, honestly. He asked for one. When she said that, my asshole, just my cheeks clenched so tight. And I think, and not to be too, but like hard nips, like nervous, like the hair on the bed. She made her point. And it was funny because you mentioned the whole thing. Because when she said, you can look bewildered all you want, whether he was in that moment or not, he had been doing that wide-eyed eye mouth or open mouth thing where you look at other people like, what? Can you believe this? The whole fucking time that he was ever on stage. So I'm so glad she said that.
Yeah. And speaking of Lauren, earlier on when she had her one-on-one with Lauren and Orion, I mean, Kevin had the one-on-one with Lauren and Orion. I thank you, Kevin Frazier, mm-hmm. for not letting Orion bullshit and getting him to the point where he basically said, I realize the things I would say made sense in my head, but then they came across as gaslighting. Like, that's fine. But then why did you, once again, he did this last week too. Why did you start the session full of shit, right? Why did you say it? I mean, I was glad he said that I'm sorry I judged you and felt your character was in question. And she's like, I believe your apology. It doesn't take away the hurt and confusion. But all this had nothing to do with before you got matched and all that stuff. But when he was like, when he asked him, did you give up on the relationship too easy? And he's like, well, I gave up on the process too easy.
Oh.
And he's like, well, with that, which is the marriage. And she's like, no, that's very separate for him. And then, well, I view the process as what experts can do to help us. And I never give the marriage that chance. And Kevin is like, so you left the marriage too early. Unsure.
Oh, I know.
I was like, I know. And then Kevin tries to explain it again. So the process is the fucking marriage, okay? Yeah, yeah. Are you gonna, like, again, why he's the host and I'm not? Because Emily storming off crying at the end, I would have been storming off crying.
I would pay so much money to see that. Not that I want you upset, but that would just be hysterical.
Can you imagine? I just throw up the cue cards. I can't do this anymore.
I can imagine. And I'd like, I mean, oh, talk about ratings.
And they have to come and talk, they have to come talk me into coming back.
Well, they're like, they're like coaxing you. Like they said, they're going to be good. A couple of them said they're sorry. Oh
yeah. Cause it seemed to finally, make Orion. That's the thing is Orion that he doesn't like to admit that he's wrong until he finally is forced to admit that he's wrong, right?
And yeah, I mean, so I don't even know if he knows he's wrong until someone points it out to him. I think he's one of those people that starts talking before he's got the end figured out. You know what I mean? Do you ever do that? I've done that a couple times.
I know I've done it a couple times, but I've just never heard it described so perfectly as you just did.
Yeah.
Like, he just started talking and the end was not figured out.
It wasn't written yet.
No. And then Kevin explained it to him 6 different times. And then finally he was like, yeah, sure. I think I did that. Yeah, I see that. And I mean, this fucking guy that, and I liked, you know, I liked how Lauren handled that. And, I thought, I mean, she took a little dig at him, which I mean, come on. At this point, when he was sitting there back and forth like that, how can you not? But what did she say? Something about, I wish him what he deserves.
Oh, yes. I wish him everything he deserves. Yeah, that was great.
I want to go have drinks with Lauren, and I just want her to tell me how to handle people.
Yeah, me too.
I just want to be like, okay, next time I'm in an airport. Yeah. And somebody cuts me off at TSA. Dude, what do I do? And I feel like she'd have a line. She'd be like, this is how you react. You can't let it get under your skin, but you're going to look. I mean, first of all, I 100%, I don't know if I can pull it off, but I really want to say I'm not the one or the two to somebody.
I know. I couldn't pull that off, but wow. Powerful.
I couldn't pull it off. I wouldn't. I don't think anyone would take me seriously for some reason. I'd fuck it up. I'd be like, I'm not the one or the 10. And they'd go, what? And so, but anyway, so, okay. So when they were going back and forth and they couldn't tell the story because Claire started freaking out and then Emily started crying. And then finally, they told the story, right? I do believe the double date story. Okay. I don't, because nobody ever said they went on one.
Right.
Even in the clip back, which we've referenced a million times, you see her say that he wanted to go on double dates, that he's been going on dates. And then no one ever said that he actually did go on dates. And that the conversation was they were at a bar. They saw a couple of girls. They go, hey, in about 6 weeks, we can go on a double date with them. Ha ha. Aren't we funny? Because our marriages are over. And then she's like, how could you say that when we were still married? And he's like, this is after you and I agreed that we weren't married anymore and that we agreed to tell the group that we weren't married. So that's, I guess, when you and I disagree on Claire, mine comes from, I don't understand why you're upset about that because you said that he told you about it and then you went and told Emily about it later. So you were fine with it when Cam told you about it. You guys were apparently, and I, not that she said they were laughing about it, but they were completely done. So for him to tell Claire that that happened and for her not to care, except to tell Emily later.
Right. 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 Yeah.
See, so that's where I get very confused with her. And I know you've already explained once to me why you think she's upset and I understood it. Well, but now we're back at the end and I don't understand anything anymore.
Well, I think it's what you said that. I literally feel like I have a headache. It could be the drinks, but she's like, yeah, all right, cool. Yeah, let's go. Well, I'll do it. I'm a team player. You know, we're going to make this work. And then somebody changed the rules halfway. And then even maybe with the double date situation, you know, and if there is some truth to the fact that whether Emily and Claire didn't get along at one point, maybe her, I think now they're thick as thieves, but maybe her loyalty was maybe not aligned completely with Emily at that time when her and, you know, Cameron, when he told her about that. I mean, who knows? Sarah, I just need a hug or a back rub or I don't know.
I want to read just an exact note to you. Okay. This was during all of the back and forth about the, after Emily was crying. And again, her tears are, you know, I know where I get it. She's frustrated. She's like, nobody's holding them accountable, blah, blah, blah. And she's backstage, I think, at that point, saying nobody will hold them accountable. And then Brennan is like, so this is what I wrote. M is crying, saying nobody will hold them accountable. B is saying this all can't be a lie. Can this reunion fucking end? That was mine.
Yes. Yeah. The answer is no. It will never end. But that's oh, girl. It's something.
Okay, so we're over an hour and a half here, and I understand that we haven't gotten to a few things in this, but we've tried to get to all of it as much as we can, but we have more to say, and we are going to go to Patreon, and it is only $7 a month to get bonus content on Thursdays, as when we have Married at First Sight, bonus content on Thursdays, and then we have Sunday episodes that are so fun. They have nothing to do with Married at First Sight. They're just full palate cleansers, good times, great ways to start your week with laughs, sometimes tears. Who knows what we bring you, but it's a lot of fun. We would love for you to join us there if you can. Also, we know that this is the end of this season of Married at First Sight, we think. And I please keep listening to us. We have a lot of fun stuff coming up. For the first couple of weeks, we're probably not going to do a TV show just to give ourselves a little bit of a break. And if you're on our Patreon and you listen to our Sundays, you know that when we don't do a TV show and we just talk about really fun things, different topics, we have so much fun. So we are going to be here every Thursday still. And we would love, love, love for you to keep listening to us so that when Married at First Sight is back, we can continue the podcast as well. So please keep listening. If you found us for Married at First Sight, give us a try next Thursday for some really fun stuff that we have planned. We might also dive into another show after we give our brains just a quick reality TV break, which I think you guys can all understand.
Yes.
And yes. So please keep listening to us. Stay subscribed. Give us a nice 5-star review. And then if your other way of supporting us can be to come over to Patreon, we'd love to have you there. We have a ton of fun and we are very interactive over there as well. Thank you. And good night.
Thank you. And good night. Bye. I know at the end of this episode, we say that we are not going to be covering next week's Married at First Sight, Where Are They Now episode. However, that is not true. We saw the preview. It looks juicy. And we will be talking about that along with other stuff. So make sure you tune in to next week's episode.
Are you my podcast?
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 Are you my podcast? Are you my podcast?